Morning, everyone. So today we're beginning a new series, and this is called Living Faith, Invitations from the Cross. And it's really going to be helpful as we prepare for Easter. And we're going to discover how the words of Jesus as he was on the cross itself impact our lives. It's an invitation to a dynamic, living faith and relationship with him, as he calls us to forgiveness, service, hope, adoration, empathy, and trust. And so today, we're going to be exploring the theme of forgiveness. God's forgiveness of us, but also our forgiveness of others. I feel like it's right today to begin with giving you permission to be aware of your emotions. I think it's right to say that, especially when we're thinking about forgiving others, it can sometimes bring to mind hurtful situations that we've experienced and their associated emotions. And can I just give you permission that if any point during our time together that you feel like you just need some space, if you need to go into the lounge or the prayer room, go for a walk, get some fresh air, that you're able to do that in a safe and loving space. Is that okay, everybody? And also, can I encourage you all, if today does really speak to you, to take advantage of the prayer ministry team at the end of the service, and Ruth and I will be available to pray with you. So that's the first thing. Please do feel like you can find the space as you need to today. And secondly, if I'm honest, I don't feel very worthy to bring this talk today. In fact, I don't really feel like that with any talk that I bring. But on this idea of forgiveness and forgiving others, I'm going to be honest, I find it really, really hard. And it's something that I have struggled and wrestled with for many years. I feel like I'm growing and I'm working, and God is bringing me some healing and releasing as I work through it. I'm intentionally working through it. And to be honest, today, I'm going to be just sharing things that have really helped me as well, but also recognize that it is an ongoing process of healing and releasing from some of the things that we've all experienced in our lives. So I hope you'll be really gracious and patient with me too, as we work through this and we explore this theme of forgiveness together. Is that okay, everybody? So firstly, Jesus teaches us to pray, "Forgive us our sins." In verse 25 of our reading, the servant's debt to the master is so great that he could never afford to pay it back. The starting point for us to come to God in repentance, to come to God seeking after his forgiveness, is to realize that the debts that we owe God, we could never afford to pay ourselves. Charles Spurgeon expresses it like this: "If you think you can make payments for your own sin, you have not yet learned the holiness of God, nor the magnitude of the debt." Let me read that again. "If you think you can make payment for your own sin, you have not yet learned the holiness of God, nor the magnitude of the debt." I want you to remember today that our sin, the mistakes that we make, the rejection, the rebellion, the selfishness, is a debt to God that we could never afford to pay ourselves. Verse 26, the servant fell down before the master. The servant fell down before the master. The next stage, after realizing that we cannot afford to pay the debt ourselves, is to fall down in humility before the master. This passage, Jesus is talking to his followers, but he's bringing this parable in response to Peter. And I love this little detail of the servant falling down before the master, because it reminds me of how Peter was when he first encountered Jesus. We read of it in Luke chapter 5. When Peter realized what had happened, so this is when he encounters Jesus. He's been in the fishing boat and they haven't caught any fish. And Jesus tells them to go and fish somewhere else, and their nets are full. And they're just absolutely amazed and in awe. When Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, "O Lord, please leave me. I'm too much of a sinner to be around you." He fell to his knees because he felt unworthy before Jesus, because he was aware of his sinfulness. And so the next stage, as we come before the Lord and seeking after forgiveness, is to fall to our knees in recognition of our place before him. And verse 27, the master was filled with pity for the servant, released him, and forgives his debt. Jesus is bringing here a wonderful picture of the heart of God. First of all, the master is filled with pity. The Greek word that Jesus uses here is the same word that is used for compassion. And there are different places in the Gospels where this same Greek word is used to describe Jesus' compassion. So, for example, in Matthew 20, there are two blind men sitting at the side of the road, and Jesus passes by, and they cry out to him, "Lord, have mercy on us." Jesus stops and asks, "What do you want me to do for you?" They said, "Lord, we want to see." And then the gospel writers write this, that Jesus was moved with compassion. It's the same word. Jesus touched their eyes, and they immediately regained their sight. Jesus is filled with compassion. And this Greek word compassion means a yearning in the bowels. It's that deep inward place. Such a feeling of love and tenderness being moved in your most inner place. In Mark chapter 8, before the miraculous feeding of the 4,000 with just only 7 loaves of bread, Jesus says, "I feel compassion." It's the same word. "For these people, they've been with me for 3 days and they have nothing left to eat." So first of all, we're reminded that the master, representing God the Father, is one of compassion. And he feels in his very depth, and he feels with love and tenderness. But compassion is often accompanied with grace and gracious action. In Exodus chapter 34, Moses asked God to reveal it himself. And the first thing that the Lord does is he says, the Lord passes in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in love. When God reveals of himself, this is God describing himself, he starts with, "I am compassionate and I am gracious." So the word compassion here is a feeling word. God feels. He feels in his very depth of his being with love and tenderness towards us. And then the grace is an action word. So he responds and he acts in love and grace. So God is one who fills and cares, and he is one who acts and he helps. He does something about our situation. And so in our parable, the master is filled with compassion for the servant, and he graciously acts. He releases him, and he forgives his debt. To forgive is to release. To forgive is to release. And we are released from the debt that we owe God. I love this quote from J.C. Ryle, who was the Bishop of Liverpool. In accepting what God has graciously done on the cross in earning our forgiveness, he writes, "I see no debt in heaven. I see no account to be settled. I see no charge to be brought forward. I see that Christ has paid it all." Hannah, if you could just come up and help me here. To forgive is to release. And I want you to really enter in. Could you just wrap that around my hands for me, please? Just wrap it around my arms. I really want us to focus in on this image of being in chains and being released. I hope I'm strong enough to break out of this. Thank you, Hannah. Should have practiced that, shouldn't we? So this is the first thing. Forgive us our sins. And this is the process that we're introduced to in this parable. First of all, we realize that we're in chains. We realize that we are in debt to God with our sin, our brokenness, our rejection, our rebellion, our self-centeredness. And we realize that we cannot pay the debt ourselves to get out of these chains. Secondly, we fall down before the master in humility, recognizing the reality of our situation. And thirdly, we come before a God who is compassionate and gracious, who is moved through the sending of his Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross and rise again so that we could be forgiven. And when we come in repentance and faith before him, he releases us from the chains. Forgive us our sins. We're going to pause for a moment and come before God in a moment of confession. And we're going to come before God in this way and ask him to forgive us our sins again. Should we spend a moment in quiet? We recognize that we cannot pay the debt ourselves. We fall down before the master in humility. And we remember that God, in his compassion and grace, forgives our sin and releases us from our chains. Spend a moment in quiet, confessing your sin before God and reflecting on this wonderful truth. John writes in his first letter. If we are living in the light as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other and with the blood of Jesus, his Son, which cleanses us from all sin. If we claim we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Let's carry on into the second part of Jesus' parable. The first half, forgive us our sins. The second half, as we forgive those who sin against us. As John said earlier, this parable is in response to Peter's question. How many times should we forgive? And Jesus says, of course, 70 times 7. Not literally, but expressing the fact that forgiveness, true forgiveness, has no limitations. So as we're thinking in the second half of our parable, as we forgive others, this is the starting point. The forgiveness has no limitations. The true forgiveness doesn't keep count of how many mistakes are made. It doesn't keep a record of wrongs. It releases from all outstanding debts that are owed. And this extends to those who hurt us unintentionally or unknowingly. For even on the cross, Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. But when we come into relationship with God, when we have truly come in repentance and faith and experienced his salvation and his forgiveness and our releasing from our chains, we come into a place of security. As he makes his home in us and we make our home in him, we find a place of unconditional and unfailing love, a place of acceptance, of affection, of encouragement. And this produces the security in us so that when offense does come and when we are hurt, we can handle it with sensitivity. We can handle it constructively and move forward positively. However, in Jesus' parable, this is not the case for the servant. He has experienced the forgiveness of the master, but then he goes and finds a friend who owes him a great debt. Verse 28, he grabs him by the throat and demands instant payment. The servant reacts from a place of insecurity. And the result of that is he responds with bitterness, resentment, and anger. And he demands that his friend pays him back that which he is owed. He puts his friend in prison. Unforgiveness places chains on other people. The master gets wind of this. He calls the servant before him and he says, have mercy as you have been shown mercy. You should have mercy because I have been merciful to you. You should forgive others because I have forgiven you. And because the servant does not show forgiveness to his friend, what happens to him? He ends back up in chains as the master hands him over to the jailers and places him in prison. Unforgiveness puts chains on others, but it also puts chains on ourselves. Because we live in the chains of bitterness and resentment and anger. And that is not God's heart for us. God's heart is that we don't get bitter, but that we get better. God's heart is that you don't stay hurt, but you get healed. God's heart for us is that we, as we experience his releasing of our debts, that we experience the freedom and the releasing of the debts of others as we forgive them. We forgive because we have been forgiven. When you truly know yourself that you've been forgiven and released by God, you are able to truly forgive and release others. And in doing so, release yourself to walk in freedom. So this is the process that I see in this parable. The servant recognizes that he cannot pay the debt back to the master. He falls down before the master in humility. And the master forgives him, releases him from the debt, and breaks his chains. Hannah, if you could grab the other chains from there for me. But then the servant goes and chooses not to forgive his friend and ends up back in chains. He ends up back in chains. And so the chains that God released him from through his own forgiveness return. This is not God's heart for you. Have mercy as you have been shown mercy. Forgive others as I have forgiven you. In doing so, releasing others from their chains and releasing yourself and walk in freedom. This is God's heart for you. This is beautifully summarized in Ephesians. Our forgiveness of others is ultimately in response to God's forgiveness of us. And it's part of our new life with God and our walking relationship with him. It says this: throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. So, moving down a few verses. So, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words and slander. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. Now, I said at the start that I've found this process of for my accepting God's forgiveness of myself, but then also forgiving others, quite difficult. I experienced some hurts, especially when I was younger, and it did develop within me quite a deep-rooted insecurity. And therefore, when I get hurt or I feel offended, I sometimes struggle to handle that well. And by the grace of God, I'm growing in those ways. Can I recommend a book to you if this is something that you feel like you want to explore or work through a little bit further? It's something that I've worked through over the years. It's called Forgive, Release, and Be Free by Geoff Day. Let me just mention two things from this book. Helpfully, he mentions a few things that forgiveness is not. And I think this is quite important just to highlight this. Because some of you might be thinking, well, it all sounds well and good, but it's pretty tough. He says this, you might find this helpful. Forgiveness is not excusing or condoning wrongs. Forgiveness is not putting the past behind us. It is not overlooking or ignoring the offense. Forgiveness is not reversing or cancelling the consequences of wrongs done. People still have to live with the consequences of their actions. Forgiveness is not suppressing our feelings. Forgiveness of deep hurts may often require the expression of deeply held emotions. And forgiveness is not something that weak people do. But people who forgive are strong. So strong that you can break paper chains with your bare hands. Hope that's helpful. And the second thing that I'd like to mention is in one particular chapter of this book, Geoff Day talks us through a process that we can work through to help us to forgive people. Just a very brief summary of it, and I've done this exercise myself many times over the years as I've worked this through. It's called settling accounts. And it's this idea of releasing people from the debt which you feel you are owed. Just very briefly, this is the process that he might recommend. Prepare to do business with God. Ask the Holy Spirit to open up areas where your emotions have been damaged, where you feel owed, or where you feel hurt. Make an invoice. On a piece of paper, write down a list of the people who have hurt you and what they have done to hurt you. Making an invoice can be for the first time that we really come to terms with the amount of hurt within and admit the fact that we feel owed by others. Count the cost by releasing them. Realize that they cannot pay you back what you feel owed. Remember how much God has forgiven you. Remember what it cost God to forgive you for your sins. Have mercy on them. As you pray, admit your emotions to God. You may need to express the anger that you feel towards a person that you are trying to forgive. And determine that even if that person were in front of you now, you would show them mercy. Forgive and release them for each and every incident. Cross out each item on the invoice as you forgive and release them. Then ask God to forgive and bless them. Tear up the invoice. The account is settled and closed. And rejoice in God's goodness. Set your will to forgive and release any others that God shows you. I'm going to put a summary of that into our small group notes as an appendix this week. If you're not in a small groups and you don't have access to that, but you'd like that, then please do just get in touch and I'll send it to you. But can I encourage you to work it through if this is important to you. Can I also suggest that it might be something that you work through with someone else, someone who can help you through that emotional process, someone that you trust, someone who can help you and pray God's healing and releasing over you too. Shall we pray as we close this part of our service? Father God, thank you so much, dear Lord, that you are compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. Thank you, Lord, that out of your compassion you acted in grace by sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to die in our place on the cross and pay the price for us that we could not pay ourselves. Thank you, dear Lord. Lord, forgiving others is really hard. Please, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, give us the strength that we need to do so, so that we can follow your commands and your instruction to forgive others as we have been forgiven. Please help us. Please forgive us where we have held unto unforgiveness. Please highlight in us where there are pockets of unforgiveness that we're not even aware of. Please reveal them to us. And Lord, I just want to pray a blessing over everyone here today. Dear Lord, I pray that we would find the strength to forgive others, that we would be breaking free from those chains of unforgiveness and walk in greater freedom with you. Thank you, dear Lord. Amen.